Okay, here we go. All right. The problem is not anger, because God wants us at times to be angry. Anger motivates us to do the right thing at times. It motivates us to stand up to people and situations and to take a position for the wounded and the hurt. It helps us to stand up for justice. And so anger can be a very, very appropriate thing. But the problem is when we don't know how to manage it. And as Rick Warren talked about, some of us are either skunks and others of us are turtles. We just go inward and we hold on to our anger. Then some of us were like myself, a skunk, and we just blew up and everybody knew about it. And so how do we tame our temper? How do we tame our temper? I am shaking, y'all. I'm shaking. I'm just so... How do we tame our temper? Let me give you, as I said, this is not the whole message. It's only about half the message, a little more than half the message. And the very first thing about taming your temper is that you resolve to manage it. Would you read with me the scripture that's on the screen? A fool gives full vent to his anger. This is it right here, the key. You keep it. It is your responsibility. Some people say, well, that situation just made me angry. That person made me angry. No, they didn't make you angry. You decided to pull the trigger and become angry at them and just to unload on them. And the reason I know this is because if you were in the middle of that anger and somebody had called you, you would have picked up the phone and go, hello. You would have changed your tone immediately. If somebody would have come to the door and been knocking on the door, you would answer the door, hi, it's good to see you. You would have done that, right? You have control over your anger. It's a choice. Resolve means it's a choice. And I'm going to tell you, the time to resolve it is not when you're plummeting down the hill of anger, when the adrenaline is pumping, and the blood pressure has risen, and your face is flush, and your muscles are tense. Usually that's the time we want to stop it, but we can't stop it. The time to stop it, if you were to kind of put it on a scale, is kind of like when you're headed right here. Just, you know, it's sort of gradual. You're headed down. When you move down to this point, it's almost the point of no return. And oftentimes, as soon as you get to the very bottom of that thing, you fall off into a cliff, and it's over. It's over. It's like what's been done's been done. The family's been wrecked. The relationship's been hurt. You're going to have to go back and apologize and work to restore trust in the relationship. So resolve at the very beginning. I'm going to manage this. And look, it's not by gritting your teeth and just going, oh, I'm going to do it. If you are a believer in Christ, who do you have inside of you? You have the Holy Spirit, amen? You got the Holy Spirit. And what is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Well, we know the first one's what? Love. Patience, okay? Just talk kindness. And what's the last one? Can anybody tell me the last one? Self-control. Amen. Self-control. The last one is self-control. He works patience. He works kindness. He works gentleness. He works self-control. All of these kind of counteract anger within us. So you have the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, you need to pray. You need to surrender. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm surrendering to you to work patience, to work self-control within my life. And at the end of the service, this is what I wanted to do, is just kind of open up the altar. You're here today and you say, you know what? I need more of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. Maybe you're not dealing with anger, but you're dealing with something else. And the work of the Holy Spirit will give you strength to overcome that kind of stuff. Let me tell you this. I'm kind of going off the page here. But for me, listen, when I came to the point, there were two key things that worked in breaking the anger within my life. The first one was this. I came to that breaking point. I hit bottom. When I hit bottom, I realized, I remember it as clear as I'm standing here today. When I hit bottom that night, that cold night, and out in the middle of a pasture, and I hit bottom, and I said, Lord, I cannot take this. I cannot live this way anymore. I cannot live this way anymore. Because I was just taking out my anger on animals. I wasn't taking it out on people. We lived out on a farm, and I was letting them have it when they wouldn't do what I wanted them to do. And I saw where this was taking me. And that point of just brokenness, saying, I cannot, please help. And then the second thing along with that is, Lord, I surrender. Can you say that with me? Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I'm giving this thing up. And over the next 3 to 4 years is where the Lord kind of cleaned that out of my system. And it's still there. I mean, I can still feel it at times, but it's not the place where it used to be. So resolve to manage it. Let me give you the second point. It's this. Remember the cost. There is a cost. It says here, if you read the last part of that sentence, you get into all kind of trouble. Let me tell you something. It almost cost me as a 17-year-old in 1980, $2,000 is about what it cost me. One day, here I am, I'm trying to run a steer. It had gotten out of the pen. I was trying to run it back into the pen, and that thing took off from me. And I chased that thing around our farm, and I mean, a half mile later, he's still running. I'm so mad. I just think I'll do the reasonable thing. You know what the reasonable thing is? Pick up a rock and throw it at him, okay? That sounded real reasonable to me. Problem was, I hit him straight in the eye. And I threw that thing as hard as I could. And that was one of my steers that I showed at the stock show. That was getting ready to show at the stock show. And that's like $2,000. It may be gone. And I'm telling you, and so then I get broken again because what, I've hurt this animal. I've possibly cost myself $2,000 of a lost animal. And then my dad is not going to be happy because we're going to have to haul this thing to that. You know, several hundred dollars later, thankfully, it didn't lose its eye. Thankfully, I was able to show it again. That's just all by the grace of God. But I'm telling you, it cost you something. It cost you your reputation, you know. It can cost you your family. It can cost you a job. It can cost you a sale. It can cost you a relationship. It can cost a game, a football game. I mean, we've seen it. Professional football games lost. College football games lost because somebody throws a personal foul out of anger, impatience. Cost you something. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:18. It says, hot temper causes arguments. Proverbs 14, anger causes mistakes. Proverbs 14:17, people who with hot tempers do foolish things. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. I always lose when I lose my temper. I always lose when I lose my temper. Let's read this one together. Proverbs 11:29, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Nothing. Here's what you get when you get angry. The three price tags to anger. The very first one is this. You get more anger. You see that adrenaline rush? I mean, if you've really been angry, that adrenaline rush, man, that thing, it's enjoyable for a period of time. It's like you begin to feel this thing and you begin to enjoy it. And so then you find yourself doing it more. But it's not so much that more, but it's the more that it creates in other people that are angry, that you're angry at. Your kids or your spouse or your friends, whatever. When you spout off anger at them, it creates anger in them. So it just creates more anger. The fire is coming out of you, and then all of a sudden the fire starts coming out of them. Here's the second thing that happens. When you're always spouting off anger, the second thing that happens, they get to the point, they don't care. Okay, just blow up on me. I don't care. I'll just close the door and walk out. I'll just get in the car and drive away. I'm tired of this. I don't need this. They get to the point, your anger has no impact. And then the last thing that happens is alienation. You are by yourself. You go back to that Proverbs passage that we just read there, you will have nothing worthwhile left. It's broken. Let me tell you something. If you're taking notes, just listen up. Listen up from a pastor who's seen this thing. There are four things, I'm telling you, if you want to destroy relationships, especially marriages, you just do these four things. Do them. You'll just wreck your relationship right here. Number one, we'll always do it, addictions. Whatever the addiction may be, it doesn't matter. I don't care. Gambling, substance abuse, eating, doesn't matter. Just the addiction will destroy the relationship. But the other three, maybe not as quickly, but they end up destroying it. Selfishness. I'm telling you, that one has the slow burn. And guys, we're the worst. We're the worst. Selfishness. We try to work everything to our advantage. We try to make sure that our agenda and our will and what we want gets done happens within our families. We may cloak it behind sincerity and kindness and all this kind of stuff, but in the end, what we're trying to do is get our way. Selfishness. That'll destroy it. Unforgiveness. We will not release things. We will not bless people. We just hold on to grudges. Resentment's held down inside of us, and we keep bringing it back up. Rick Warren's done a good job talking about that in the small group studies. And then finally is anger. Anger. I'm telling you, anger will destroy your relationship. What anger is nothing but acid. It's just acid or fire that you're throwing on people, on relationships. So reflect, which is the next point, the third of the 4 points we're going to consider, is reflect before reacting. Think before you speak. Again, Proverbs 29:11. Let's read this on the screen. A stupid man gives full rein to his anger. A wise man waits. This is where we get the phrase, chill out, right here, okay? Cool down, okay? Okay. He waits and he lets it grow what? Say that word with me, cool. He lets it cool down. I'm telling you, the biggest thing some of you need to learn with your anger is this word, delay. Delay. I'm going to pause. I'm not going to respond to the text. I'm not doing it. I want to do it. Everything within me wants to respond to this text. I see the post. I want to comment on it. I want to show this person what they think is wrong. Tell them what's wrong, why it's wrong. I want to post it. I want to respond to it. I want to make the call back. I want to send the email. I want to do the thing, and I want to do it now because that's what the adrenaline inside of me is doing. That's where I feel put. And this is where you got to say, no, pause it. Delay. I'm going to reflect before I react. I have on the blog portion of our website this tool. It's a timeout resource tool. And I'd encourage you, of course you can't read it there, but on the website you can read it. It gives you the 5 steps of taking a timeout in a relationship. It's very, very helpful information on how to take an appropriate timeout. And when it just seems like the relationship's getting more and more intense. Now I'll tell you 2 things about the timeout. The first one is this, is always take the time out when you're kind of in this phase of it right here, when things are kind of here. Because when you try to take a time out and things are going downhill, you're not going to take a time out. You're going to let, and when you say, I want to take a time out, and if you're headed down that hill, your friend or your spouse who's also headed down the hill, they're going to say, we ain't taking a time out. Are you kidding me? Okay, so it's always best to catch the timeout early on. Say, you know what, I kind of sense I'm not going to a good place. This isn't getting us anywhere. Let me just go take a walk. We'll get back to it. Second thing is this, very practically, you take the time out for yourself. You don't say to the person, you need a timeout, okay? That never works, okay? That never works. It's I'm taking a timeout for me on this thing. So anyway, very practical tool there on delaying. And just remember the phrase, you can't put your foot in your mouth when it's closed. Amen? All right. Okay. There are 3 questions you really need to respond to. I'm really just going to deal with these, the first two. Number one is this, why are you angry? Because anger is just a surface thing. It is simply symptomatic of something deeper. That's all anger is. It's symptomatic of that there's something else below the surface that needs to be dealt with. You say, well, it's this person. Well, yeah, maybe a little bit. But there's usually something else beyond the person. And the second question is, why do you keep repeating the same pattern? Some of you keep going around the same tree. This event happens, it triggers this, you act that way, it leads you to this place, and there's a big fat mess on the end. And you keep going around this tree. You're going around the tree all the time. You need to ask yourself, Why do I keep repeating this pattern? What is behind this anger inside of me? And I want to tell you, I think for me as a teenager, I'm speaking, there was a couple of things, but I think for me, one of it was my dad was not as involved in my life. He wasn't as involved in my life. And the reason is because he was gone every other week, literally solid for a week, for almost 8 days, from Sunday to Sunday, he would be gone. And my dad's a great man. He loves me. He's a great example of a father's love. But because he wasn't involved in my life on a like weekly basis, I think there were just some things there that I missed that I needed from my dad. And it was coming out in this sort of this anger that was coming out of my life. More recently, let me tell you something else. More recently, I found myself, and Stephanie can testify to this, I was incredibly volatile and angry, I don't know, a couple of months ago. It seemed like back in June or something like that. I mean, just I can just feel it, and it's this rush, this adrenaline, this thing just wants to come out of me and just wants to break something, kick something, you know, whatever. And I thought, what's going on? In fact, I did. I just kind of released it and slammed the door. It had nothing to do with Stephanie. It didn't have anything to do with kids or anything. It was just stuff was building up. And I thought, why am I doing this? I'm going around this tree again. Because 3 years earlier, I found myself in the same place where I was going around. And I mean, and then I figured out what it was. Is that had two, the common link was there were an intense number of deaths in a short period of time. 3 years ago, 9 deaths in 9 weeks. And then in the March, April, May timeframe, whatever it was, we had 6 or 7 deaths in about 2 months or something like that. And I'm telling you, that anguish, that grief, feeling the pain of the people that are going through that pain, and knowing the hurt, and knowing a little bit of that separation, and knowing that we fight against a real enemy called death, I'm telling you, it set me over. And there is an anguish. I'm just being transparent with you. There is an anguish that pastors go through, that really is depletes. It really does deplete. It really depletes you. And you go through that over and over and over in a short period of time. And some guys head towards depression. That's why you'll find a lot of ministers that are in depression. For me, it comes out in anger. And so I have to be very acutely aware of that as we as a church go through times of grief and loss. And so I've got to build stuff into my life. That's why I bike. That's why I run. That's why I swim a little bit. I've got to have that into my life. I have to have that in my life because it releases this stress that's inside of me. Some people say, well, why do you like doing that stuff? Well, I've always been athletic, but I'll tell you, a big part of it keeps me sane. It really keeps me sane. And so you help me out today by doing this thing. Amen. Thank you. Really, really. It's part of it. So, but I had to go down deep. I couldn't just say, you know, Stephanie made me mad or something, or that phone call made me mad, whatever. It wasn't that. It was something much deeper. So going down, and then what do I really want in this anger that comes out of me? What am I trying to get out of the argument? And I want to tell you something. Guys, again, I think the reason why we get angry, it's true for me, just selfishness. I didn't get my way. And these kids are interfering with me getting my way. And my wife's got too many things. She's getting in my way. And that's why I'm getting mad. And so we got to process that. And ladies, I know you have your own issues, so deal with them. Root causes of anger. I won't go through. I've kind of already talked about these. The hurts can be, again, when you're hurt physically, you cry out. And so when you hurt relationally, emotionally, you also cry out, and it comes out in anger. For some, it comes out in depression. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Frustration that things are just out of control. You feel overwhelmed. Again, the hurt, it goes back to deep things in your life. To places where you were rejected, where something didn't happen when you thought it should have happened in your life. Family of origin issues, actions against you. Fear, those are when you feel threatened, when there's insecurity in your life. Let me tell you, some of the people that have the most anger problems are people who are insecure. And I think it's because sometimes we're depending upon people to do stuff for us that God, only God can do for us. Or we're depending upon people to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves. And so we get angry. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're leaning too heavily, and again, God put us in relationships. We're supposed to be in a healthy relationship with the people. But sometimes we want things from people that they cannot deliver, and they could never deliver. And your anger is coming out towards them when it really there's some issues within your own life that need to be dealt with. So that can be a point of anger, the fear. And finally, let me just give you this. I need to release my anger appropriately. Doug, why don't y'all come on up, or whoever's going to come up and play. We need to release our anger appropriately. From Ephesians chapter 4, if you become angry, do not let your anger lead you into sin. So what's the best way to process your anger? Let me give you the three or four ways not to do it. The first one is this. What's the best way to process my anger? Number one, do not suppress it. Suppress it means what you're trying to do is I'm just going to stuff it. I'm going to stuff it. I'm going to stuff my anger. You stuff your anger long, and what happens? Tell me, Richard, you keep stuffing it, what happens? You blow up. Big time. It's like shaking a Coke bottle, just shaking and shaking and shaking, and think, you know what, eventually, it's going to be okay. Yeah, you keep doing that, it's eventually going to blow up. We know that. And so some of us, that's what we try to do. I'll just suppress it. I'll tell you the next one, though, is where a whole lot of people are, and that's where we try to repress it. It's not that big a deal. There's no problem. We're okay. Doug and I, maybe we've had an argument. We're okay with it. It's no problem. And what you're doing is you keep repressing it. You minimize it. And when you continue to minimize it, here's what happened. Repressed anger is the cause of much depression. It's frozen rage is what it is. Frozen rage. I'm holding it in. It's not an issue. I'm okay. And I'm going to tell you something. It can be against people who have died, a dead parent, a dead aunt, uncle, whatever, who hurt you. And you think, I shouldn't be mad at them, but you still are mad at them. And you've just repressed it. It could be about the relationship, a relationship issue. You seemingly have worked through, but you really haven't worked through it. You have just simply repressed your anger. Don't express it in unhealthy ways is the third way. Don't express it in unhealthy ways. And let me tell you the unhealthy ways we do it. Sarcasm is one way. Now, I know there's the kidding kind of sarcasm, and I'm just talking about sarcasm in exchanges in your relationship. When you say things that are meant to be cutting, they sound funny, but boy, they are funny with a hook. They are funny with a slice is what they are. You are using it to chop the person apart. Another way is, of course, the harsh words that we say, curse words. Folks, let's go back to message one. What comes out of your mouth, where did it originate from? Say it with me. Just remember this passage. It's Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4. Matthew 12, 34. It says, whatever comes out of your mouth emanates where? It comes from your heart. And so those sarcastic, cutting, curse words, sharp words, you just blowing up, whatever it may be, they come from a heart. They come from the heart, and it's the heart that needs to be dealt with. That's what people say, I just need to get a control on my tongue. No, you don't. You need to get control of your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Two other things. One is you play the victim. Some of us are real good at this. We play Mary the Martyr or Mark the Martyr, whatever. And we try to gain pity from people from the things that we're going, look what they've done to me, see how they've hurt me. And we tell people how other people have hurt us. And it's our way of not only getting sympathy, but also kind of throwing daggers at that person who hurt us. I'll show them, I'll get that person on my side, and they'll stand with me against them. It's a victim mentality. And then last one is the worst one. Well, they're all bad, but this one's really bad. It's just crazy behavior. You go out, Stephanie can testify to this. We had in our previous church, the guy said, well, the wife found out he'd gone to the bar and got drunk and was hanging out with women. She said, well, I'm just going to go do the same thing. And that's what she did. She went out, she got drunk, she hung out with other men. That kind of, I'll just show him. You spend $1,000, I'm going to spend $1,000. It's just crazy behavior is what it is. Don't express it in unhealthy ways. Instead, say it with me, the last one here. Say it together. Confess it. Confess it. Confess it to God. Confess it to a trusted friend, and eventually, if necessary, confess it to the other person. Now, what we're going to be doing, Keith had referenced this course that we're going to be taking starting October 19th, and it's about, part of it, not in the entirety, is about how do we express our anger in a healthy way, in a way that really gets it off of our chest, but also helps the other person to understand where we are. And so this whole thing about having good conversations with people, having good, strong relationships that build each other up. So this is what this course is about. And again, it's not just about marriages. It's about all of your relationships. We only have spots for 20 people. So if you want to register for that, put it on the blue card, contact me, whatever, and we'll get you registered for this. Again, as a church, we want this to be a place where God's love can prevail. Amen? Where God's love can prevail. And so we need to learn how to love each other well, especially we need to learn how to handle anger within our lives. So what I want us to do right now, if you would, just bow your heads in prayer. Where are you when it comes to anger? Are you suppressing it? Are you doing crazy things? Are you expressing it in unhealthy ways? What I want to do is I want to allow the Holy Spirit the next couple of minutes for Him to have the freedom to work in your life. If you're here today and you say, well, really, anger's not an issue in my life, then I want you to pray for somebody with anger that it is an issue. And what I'd like for you to do, for all of you here, is just surrender yourself anew to the work of the Holy Spirit. As we close here in a moment, if you're here today and you need prayer of any sort, this is what I ask of you. If you need prayer of any sort, then I'd like for you to, Landra Olson's going to be over here, and I'd ask for another prayer team member to be with her. She'll be over here to your left. If you have a physical need, a financial, a need with whatever, she'll be here, and if there'll be two or three others here, you can go and pray with them. But if you're here today and you're like me, you say, you know what, I have an anger issue, and I need prayer. I'm going to be down front. And Richard Hancock, I want you to be down front with me, okay? Richard would tell you this is an issue in his life that God has been working, and he's seen a tremendous amount of change in his life. And so I want us, Richard and I are going to pray for you. There's no shame here, okay? Don't say, oh, I don't want to go down front. Then people think I got a problem. You know, hey, folks, we all got problems, okay? We all have problems. That's why we come to the Lord. Amen? That's why we come to the Lord. We come to church because we need Him. So there's no shame. We know there's power in prayer. And we know God can accelerate His work through what He's imparted to Richard and myself. I know He wants to impart to you as well. And so let us lay hands on you and pray for you to receive His work. If you're here today and maybe you came in just for whatever reason, with a friend or whatever, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, but you want one, today you can make that choice by just saying to Him, Jesus, I confess You as my King. thank you for dying on the cross for me. I put my trust in you. Today I follow you. You're my King. If you prayed that and you meant that, I want you to tell somebody today that you prayed that. Let this be the day, your birthday in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's stand together. You know, that first song that we sang, I love that song. What's that song called, that Jeremy Camp thing?
Can't be moved.
What? Can't be moved. That song comes from Hebrews chapter 12, which says, it says that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that the unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fire and awe. That is an amazing song. Comes from that passage, and this is an amazing chapter that it comes from. And so I want to leave you with this blessing. My wife is going to be in the back. If you're visiting with us here for the first time, stop by and meet Stephanie. She will be available, and we'll have a gift for you. From Hebrews chapter 13, continues on, and I pray this over you. Speak this blessing. Y'all receive it. Open up your hands. Just receive it. It's a great blessing to receive from God. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, and who ratified an eternal covenant with His blood, may He today, right now, equip you with all you need for doing His will. May He produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to Him. All glory be to Him forever and ever. Amen and amen. God bless you.